RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Headlines, Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news versus the headlines. The government to prioritize the welfare of small fishing boats under 30 gross tonnage. Swedish professional fishermen must have fishing license. Fishermen using Cantrang fishing gear requested to immediately register and verify their ships. Now the news in details. Cantrang or Danish seine fishing gear is banned because it is not environmentally friendly. Other problems arise because many Cantrang ships over 5 gross tonnage whose licenses are issued by the local government have caused conflict with the other local fishermen. Cantrang has resulted in 45% decline of production from the approximately 281,000 tons in 2002 to 153,000 tons in 2007. This situation also lowers the Marshall's fish resources as many as 50%. In its development, a number of vessels using Cantrang in Central Java province continue to grow from about 5,100 to more than 10,000, with most of the ships weighing about 30 gross tonnage. Regarding to this, Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Indroyono Susilo said that the government would prioritize the welfare of small fishing boats under 30 gross tonnage.
Kalau nelayan dengan kapal di bawah 30 gross ton itu harus
We must protect and support the welfare of fishermen using boats under 30 gross tonnage. I think the ships above 30 gross tonnage have already been advanced. Well, we'll support, but the priority is for ships under 30 gross tonnage. April 6 is commemorated as Indonesian Fishermen Day. Fishermen have important role to develop and activate the national economy. Sweden is one of countries that cares about the protections of its fishermen. Every professional fisherman in Sweden must have official license for fishing. It was said by a Swedish private company employee Per Hermansson to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
It used to be free fishing for everyone before, but now you need to have a license in a different way where it is quotas, how much you're allowed to fish per day or per year. Where it is professional fishermen, professional need license for the government, and then they get like a quota, like maybe maximum 100 kilo or 1,000 kilo per year, per week, or they have a limit how much they're allowed to fish, because Sweden and the European Union care a lot so to keep the fish in the sea.
Furthermore, Per Hermansson also said every professional fisherman in Sweden deserves to have salary, time for holiday, health insurance service, and other necessaries from his company where he works. Per also said that to whomsoever for illegal fishing activities, Sweden also uphold law enforcement and will give them punishment based on the regulation in the country. Indonesian Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fishery, Susi Pujastuti, called on fishermen who still use cantrang or Danish seine fishing gear to immediately register and verify their ship. This aims to encourage the fishermen to follow the government's programs and use environmentally friendly fishing gear.
Supaya kita bisa tempatkan bawa mereka dengan alat tangkap yang sesuai dengan
It aims to encourage them to bring environmentally friendly fishing gear to fishery management areas or WPP, which are now vacant from the illegal fishing. The area are very wide in the EEZ, but they must not enter other countries' 12-mile zone. If they do, their local people will get angry. Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fishery, Susi Pujastuti, asserted that her ministry wants to clear up Indonesia's fisheries sector and turn it into the sustainable one. A ban on using cantrang or Danish seine fishing gear is stipulated in the Ministry Regulation No. 2, 2015. Infrastructure Development Funding Agency, LPPI, is expected to operate in 2017 and disburse up to 150 trillion rupiah for infrastructure development projects. LPPI, previously known as PT Sarana Multi Infrastructure, gained a capital injection worth 27 trillion rupiah or $2 billion from the government. One of the company's tasks is to finance an ambitious 35,000 megawatt power plant project. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro had instructed the company to be actively involved in the project. Haryanto, the Director General of State Wealth at the Finance Ministry, added that the government has earmarked a state capital injection of 18 trillion rupiah or $1.3 billion for PT Sarana Multi Infrastructure in the revised state budget 2015. In addition, the government has also transferred the assets of the Government Investment Center, valued at 2 trillion rupiah or $153.8 million, who owns that company. This news has come to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The state-owned enterprises SOE Ministry has three state-owned companies operating in energy sectors, namely PT Pertamina, PT Perusahaan Gas Negara PGN, and PT Perusahaan Listrik Negara PLN, to develop synergy among them in order to realize efficiency, optimize their performance, and prevent swelling fuel subsidy. Pertamina President Director Dwi Sucipto said in Jakarta recently that the three SOEs will continue to discuss the steps to be taken in details. Dwi explained that there will be a team to bridge communication between the three companies in order to realize the efficiency plan. PLN President Director Sofyan Basir added that the main goal of the efficiency was to keep the subsidy from swelling. Sofyan also said that the synergy was necessary to prevent companies from unilaterally increasing tariffs. Sofyan was optimistic that PLN will be able to realize the efficiency plan and save at least 6 trillion rupiah or $461.5 million upon the operation of a steam-fueled power plant in Medan in April. In addition, PLN is expected to make another efficiencies of 3 trillion rupiah or $230.7 million per year upon the operation of a steam-fueled power plant in Bali. Nationally, PLN has set a target to save up 12 trillion rupiah or $923 million per year to prevent electricity price increase. Jangga Lubis, the director of PD Pasar Jaya, confirmed that Block G of Tanah Abang Market, built by former Jakarta Governor Joko Widodo, will be demolished sooner. The demolition plan, Jangga claimed, has been approved by Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama and Deputy Governor Jarod Saiful Hidayat. In addition, Jangga said that there was no parking lot and other facilities, causing customers reluctant to shop at Block G. According to Jangga, renovations would not do any good to the building since the condition is no longer fit for business. Block G of the market roofs 1,000 business places and 600 vendors. The government is looking to relocate the vendors while Block G is being fixed. Earlier, Jokowi managed to boost the popularity of Block G and called on housewives to shop at Block G. Jokowi also took Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg to visit the market. As a follow-up to a cooperation between the Jakarta and East Nusa Tenggara Provincials Administration in the field of livestock, Timur Tengah Selatan Regency has received 5,200 cows for breeding. The Regency's livestock office head, Benjamin Billy, told media recently that 60% of the breeding cows were of the superior Bali breed and 40% of the Simmental, Lemosin, Angus and Pernus varieties. The local livestock office is currently in the campaign stage, as it is still waiting for the accepted cows and technical guidelines before implementing the program. However, the program will definitely be carried out this year. South Central Timur Regency Council Deputy Speaker Alexander Kase said that 5,200 heads of cattle given to the community would have a higher sale value than local cattle. Tourist activity in Poso Regency, Central Sulawesi, is likely behind the drastic drop-off in tourism at the Malio breeding site in neighboring Sigi Regency. The Malio is a bird endemic to the island. Herman Sasia, forest ranger, told the Jakarta Post in Palu recently that the terrorist cases in Napu, Poso, has badly influenced the number of foreign tourists visit to a number of tourist sites in Lore Lindu National Park. About 20 foreign tourists visited the site each month. Now, only a few were coming, like due to the reports of terrorism in the North and South Lore district of Poso. He also said foreign tourist arrivals dropped to just 70% of normal levels per month between January and March 2015. Tourists usually visited Tambing Lake in Dongi Dongi, which is located in Sigi and Poso Regency. From the lake, he said, tourists normally proceed to the Malio breeding site. Meanwhile, Norelindo National Park Technical and Conservation Division Head Ahmad Yani confirmed that tourists were visiting Tambing Lake in fewer numbers due to the uptick in terrorist activity in the Napu area. Indonesia's mixed double shuttlers Tontowi Ahmad Liliana Natsir and men's double Hendra Setiawan Muhammad Ahsan advanced to the 2015 Malaysian Open semifinals. The world highest level tournament, which is being held at Putra Stadium Bukit Jalil, Kuala Lumpur, offers 6.4 billion rupiah cash prize. Ahsan Hendra claimed their semifinal ticket after beating Japanese Hiroyuki Endo and Kenichi Hayakawa in three games, with a score 10-21, 21-13, 21-12. The Indonesian doubles have extended their leading run against the Japanese to 7-0. Tontowi Liliana joined their compatriot after rolling past England's Chris Adcock and Gabriel Adcock with a score of 21-17, 12-21 and 21-13. Tontowi Liliana needed 49 minutes to take down the British by rapid tempo and accurate smashes. In semi-final later today, Ahsan Hendra are set to play Denmark's Mathias Bo and Carson Mogensen, who won over Indonesia's Angga Pratama Ricky Karandaswandi with a score of 21-23, 21-14 and 11-21 at the quarterfinal, while Tontowi Liliana will fight against China's Zhang Nan and Zhao Yunle. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listeners, several important events that happened this week are summarized in the press review compiled from various newspapers published in Jakarta. I'm Dalat Pani. Kompas, in its editorial, writes, quick step is needed to evacuate citizens. The government's decision to evacuate Indonesian citizens in Yemen, which has been affected by the war, needs to move quickly and precisely. Kompas writes, a quick and precise move is needed in view of the situation on the ground, which is getting worse. Other countries which have citizens in Yemen, such as China and Pakistan, have to evacuate its citizens. They act quickly. Of course, there are a lot of things that either encourage or allow them to act faster than Indonesia. Protecting citizens is the obligation of the state, as stated expressly in the fourth paragraph of the opening of the 1945 Constitution. From then on, to form a government of Indonesia which protects all the people of Indonesia and the country of Indonesia. That means protection not only given to citizens who are in the country, but also abroad. In this case, to protect Indonesian citizens abroad is the duty and responsibility of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. According to Kompas, the government has begun to act and evacuate most Indonesians. All parties appreciate. What is needed now is a swift action before the situation gets worse. The quick and accuracy of the government to act will be noted by the people that the government, that this country really protect its citizens. The next review is from Republika. The newspaper in its editorial writes fuel price fluctuation. There are differences in setting the price of fuel oil in the era of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kala. If in the era of the previous government, subsidized fuel price packed at a certain price, and the price changes with a long time, with an average of over 1 year, now fuel price could change in a matter of weeks. Less than a month, the price could change, like the price of non-subsidized fuel. The difference in fuel pricing as a result of the transfer of fuel subsidies worth over 200 billion rupiahs each year to infrastructure projects. The new burden of the government policy, on the one hand, makes Indonesia's economic fundamentals are stronger because the budget spent to subsidize fuel and go up in smoke is not too large. However, on the one hand, the threat of inflation would be so high when fuel price rise and resulted in market prices of raw materials soar. On the other hand, the number of poor people is rising as inflation soars due to erode purchasing power. According to Republika, there are two steps that can be applied, at least related to the pattern of the new policy in the fuel prices. First, the down and hike of fuel prices affect public transport fares. If the government still impose patterns like the current fuel prices, local governments should make some sort of benchmark for public transport fare, with some benchmark price of fuel per liter. The second step is to decide how fluctuations in fuel prices for 3 months.
The government should calculate full price benchmark for the next 3 months by using standard data of oil price and exchange rate in the last 3 months. Thus, people will not be bothered with the ups and downs of fuel prices in a matter of weeks. We conclude press review with Koran Tempo. This daily writes, Budi Gunawan should not be investigated by police. The Attorney General should not be nervous then delegate the investigation of alleged corruption General Budi Gunawan to the prosecutor. The indication of the corruption is from the reporting and analysis of financial transactions has been submitted to the Corruption Eradication Commission to the attorney. This is that should be traced, not delegated to the police investigation. According to the Koran Tempo, the signs that the attorney will give up is visible. Even shortly after they received this case, attorney said there was no evidence beginning to investigate Budi Gunawan. In fact, this is a big case. It is the obligation of the prosecutor to continue the investigation previously done by the Corruption Eradication Commission. Just because the pretrial has won by Budi Gunawan, the commission was forced to remove the case and submit it to the prosecutor. Budi Gunawan alleged bribery case occurred in 2003 and 2006 when he served as deputy chief of the Bureau of Career Development of Human Resources of the Indonesian National Police Headquarters. The Corruption Eradication Commission suspects the ownership of the account amounting to 55 billion rupiahs. The evidence of the flow of funds that should be used by the prosecutor to continue the investigation. The commission must also be open. Submit all evidence to the attorney to be followed up. According to Koran Tempo, that's the reason why the prosecutor should not submit Budi Gunawan's case to the police. Now is the time for Attorney General M. Prasetyo to prove to the people that the prosecutor that he led is independent and professional. Well, listener, that was Press Review.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on April the 4th, 1968, when Martin Luther King was assassinated. Martin Luther King Jr. was an American Baptist minister, an activist, humanitarian, and leader in the African-American civil rights movement. He is best known for his role in the advancement of civil rights using nonviolent civil disobedience based on his Christian beliefs. King became a civil rights activist early in his career. He led the 1955 Montgomery bus boycott and helped found the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, or SCLC, in 1957, serving as its first president. With the SCLC, King led an unsuccessful 1962 struggle against segregation in Albany, Georgia, and helped organize the 1963 nonviolent protest in Birmingham, Alabama. Alabama that attracted national attention following television news coverage of the brutal police response. King also helped to organize the 1963 March on Washington, where he delivered his famous I Have a Dream speech. There, he established his reputation as one of the greatest orators in American history. On October 14, 1964, King received the Nobel Peace Prize for combating racial inequality through nonviolence. In 1965, he helped to organize the Selma to Montgomery marches, and the following year, he and SCLC took the movement north to Chicago to work on segregated housing. In the final years of his life, King expanded his focus to include poverty and speak against the Vietnam War, alienating many of his liberal allies with a 1967 speech titled Beyond Vietnam. In 1968, King was planning a national occupation of Washington, D.C. to be called the Poor People's Campaign when he was assassinated on April the 4th in Memphis, Tennessee. His death was followed by riots in many U.S. cities and allegations that James Earl Ray, the man convicted of killing King, had been framed and acted in concert with government agents persisted for decades after the shooting. And the last event was in 1975 when Microsoft was founded. Microsoft Corporation is an American multinational corporation headquartered in Redmond, Washington, that develops, manufactures, licenses, supports, and sells computer software, consumer electronics, and personal computers and services. Its best-known software products are the Microsoft Windows line of operating system, Microsoft Office Suite, and Internet Explorer web browser. Its flagship hardware products are the Xbox game consoles and the Microsoft Surface tablet lineup. It is the world's largest software maker measured by revenues. It is also one of the world's most valuable companies. Microsoft was founded by Bill Gates and Paul Allen on April 4, 1975, to develop and sell basic interpreters for Altair 800. It rose to dominate the personal computer operating system market with MS-DOS in the mid-1980s, followed by Microsoft Windows. The company's 1986 initial public offering and subsequent rise in its share price created three billionaires and an estimated 12,000 millionaires from Microsoft employees. Since the 1990s, it has increasingly diversified from the operating system market and has made a number of corporate acquisitions. In May 2011, Microsoft acquired Skype Technologies for $8.5 billion in its largest acquisition to date. And the last event was in 1979 when Zulfikar Ali Bhutto founded the Pakistan People's Party. Zulfikar Ali Bhutto founded the Pakistan People's Party, PPP, and served as its chairman until his execution in 1979. Despite civil disorder aggravated by incidents of repression by federal forces, the PPP won the 1977 parliamentary elections easily. However, a conservative alliance alleged widespread rigging and violence escalated across Pakistan. Finally, on July 5, 1977, Chief of Army Staff General Zia-ul-Haq deposed Bhutto in a bloodless coup and had the former Prime Minister controversially tried and executed by the Supreme Court in 1979 for authorizing the murder of a political opponent. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, meet again with me, Daulat Pane, in today's Focus. And today's theme is the Indonesian National Army launch exercise in Poso. The Indonesian National Army began a military drill of Rapid Reaction Strike Force, PPRC, in Poso, Central Sulawesi, on Thursday at 6 o'clock Central Indonesian time. The exercises involving 3,222 personnel from the Army, Navy, and Air Force is centered in Poso Pesisir. The exercise was begun with shots from three warships, namely KRI Hasanuddin, KRI Surabaya, and KRI Hasan Basri, from the sea towards the north of the city of Poso, which specific targets in the Gunung Biru or Blue Mountains. The attack was followed by four F-16 fighters, which were on Thursday morning flown directly from Balikpapan, East Kalimantan. Then later, 12 C-130 Hercules aircraft with approximately 600 personnel of Airborne Infantry Battalion 502 passing for paratroops in Masani and Saatu villages and Poso Pesisir sub-district. Meanwhile, three helicopters M-117 and MI-35 deployed to carry out further attacks to the location of Gunung Biru or Blue Mountains. The population of three villages in the vicinity of the exercise had already been evacuated. It's no coincidence that the location of the exercise, the Gunung Biru or Blue Mountains, is touted as the basis of an armed group led by Santoso alias Abu Warda, who declared to join the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS. Indonesian National Army Commander General Muldoko, after watching the exercise, said the military and the government never gave place to the development of radical ideologies in Indonesia, including ISIS. For that, the Gunung Biru or Blue Mountain is one option to determine the location of the exercise.
General Muldoko revealed that in addition to increase the professionalism of the soldiers, the Rapid Reaction Strike Force, PPRC, the exercise also expected to provide an understanding of the condition of the district of Poso to the soldiers who were involved in the exercise. A day after bombarding the location suspected as the hideout of terrorist Lat Santoso, alias Abu Warda, the army patrols by combing the forest area. The military commander, General Muldoko, assigned 700 or equivalent to a battalion who were involved in the exercise to remain and continue to hunt the Santoso's terrorist group until April 15. After the exercise, the military carried territorial operation. In the operation, two military posts were built. It is meant to serve social activities in the surrounding area in the 1307 Poso District Command headquarters and as posts for territorial operations located in the village Saatu, or about 25 kilometers from the town of Poso. In addition to the implementation of the military war games, the military also held a territorial management activities such as free medical treatment and distribution of groceries for 1,500 local residents. The military also do repair bridges, 4 mosques and 6 Islamic schools and 205 houses located in 3 districts, namely Poso Pesisir, North Poso Pesisir and South Poso Pesisir. Well, listener, that was Focus.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's headlines taken from several dailies published in Jakarta Today, Saturday, April 4, 2015. We start from Kompas Daily, which writes, evacuation team enters Yemen. Team to evacuate Indonesian citizens in Yemen on Friday departed by land from the city of Salalah, Oman, to the East Yemen. Their goal is to evacuate Indonesian citizens from a number of cities in eastern Yemen, especially those in Hadramaut province. At the same time, Indonesian Air Force Boeing 737-400 has landed at Salalah Airport. This aircraft was sent from Indonesia to bring Indonesian citizens who want to be evacuated from Yemen. Earlier, Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fahir said, "The government will consider all options to evacuate citizens from Yemen." We'll continue our next headlines from Republika Daily this time. In its headlines, writes about the inverted government's policy. The Indonesian government has been evaluated to make an inverted policy related to the blocking of several Islamic sites. Minister of Communications and Information Technology has just set up radical sites blocking team after receiving public objections on the blocking of the Islamic sites. Deputy Chairman of Commission 1, Hanafi Rais, said Friday, "The sequence of policy in combating radicalism and terrorism that the ministries make should be reports from the public. The establishment of a panel that making a new decision." Ideally, said Hanafi, the panel does not function as a fire extinguisher. The Minister of Communication and Information Technology, Rudiantara, said the panel consists of chairman of Muhammadiyah Islamic Organization Din Samsudin and a prominent figure from Nadatul Ulama, Salahuddin Wahid. He said the next meeting will discuss public complaints and objections related to a number of Islamic sites which have been blocked. We end today's headlines with Business Indonesia's Daily, which writes, the location of Chilamaya Port move. The Indonesian government plans to shift the locations of Chilamaya Port development to the east to be away from Pertamina's offshore oil installation in the Sea of Chilamaya. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala said, the government has decided to move the location of Chilamaya Port to the east of Karawang. Yusuf Kala said the location has to be moved to better guarantee shipping safety and not to hamper Pertamina's operation there. Listener, that was our headline newspaper for today. I'm Nuga Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id. Welcome back, viewer listener. Here is news in brief. Infrastructure Development Funding Agency's LPPI is expected to operate in 2017 and disperse up to 150 trillion rupiah for infrastructure's development project. The State-Owned Enterprises SOE Ministry has three state-owned companies operating in energy sectors, namely PT Pertamina, PT Perusahaan Gas Negara PGN, and PT Perusahaan Listrik Negara PLN, to develop synergy among them in order to realize efficiency, optimize their performance, and prevent swelling fuel subsidy. Jangga Lubis, the director of PD Pasar Jaya, confirmed that Block G of Tanah Abang Market, built by former Jakarta Governor Joko Widodo, will be demolished sooner. As a follow-up to a cooperation between the Jakarta and East Nusa Tenggara Provincials Administration in the field of livestock, Timur Tengah Selatan Regency has received 5,200 cows for breeding. Tourist activities in Poso Regency, Central Sulawesi, is likely behind the drastic drop-off in tourism at the Malayo breeding site in the neighboring Sigi Regency. Indonesia's mixed double shuttlers Tontowi Ahmad Liliana Natsir and men's double Hendra Setiawan Muhammad Ahsan advanced to the 2015 Malaysian Open semi-final. Listener, that was News in Brief from Varera World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusmoti. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Ani Hasana. In today's edition, I will invite you to visit Solo in Central Java to have a close look at Batik Lawayan Village. So stay tuned. Listener, Solo City is popular with delicious culinary and also batik. One of popular batik areas in Solo is Batik Lawayan Village. To enter Batik Lawayan Village is free of charge. You just need to spare your time and money to see how to make batik and buy batik. If you come in the morning, you will see how the batik makers begin their activity when they make pattern or motif on blank white drapery. Besides handmade process, you will also see printing style batik, which can be produced faster than the handmade ones. When you enter Batik Lawayan Village, there is an icon place, namely Langgar Merdeka, or Musola Merdeka, or in English means Merdeka Small Mosque, which now changes into Langgar Ikhlas. This mosque is still used until now and often is used as a sign to go to Batik Lawayan Village. Batik Lawayan Village does not only sell batik clothes, but also other products which use batik cloth, such as bed sheets, bags, t-shirts, sandals, until football team t-shirt in batik motif with your favorite club. It will be easy to choose batik you love because there are many models, types, styles, sizes, and also motifs. And you do not have to worry because the motif is not cheap and there is also limited edition category. The batik prices at Batik Lawayan Village depend on the model, the size, as well as the type of batik cloth. Listener, to go to Batik Lawayan Village is not difficult. This village is located at Lawayan Village, Lawayan Subdistrict, Surakarta City, Selo Java. You can go by a city bus,
pedicabs or taxi. It takes around 20 to 30 minutes from Solo City by using private vehicle. You don't have to worry to get lost because there are many directions which make you easy to go to the village. Lesana Batik Lawean Village has become a tourism destination of batik product since long time ago, so that it is popular until abroad. No wonder many foreign tourists come to the village for shopping, witnessing process of batik making, or learning how to make batik from the local people. And listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, dear listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today's edition, we have a topic, seawater desalination with upside-down osmosis system. Seawater, which begins to rise to the surface of the ground, threatens the existence of fresh water for Indonesian people. But Indonesian researchers created a technology to change seawater into fresh water, which can be consumed. This process is named desalination. It was also confirmed by Nur Hidayati, Head of Advocacy at the Indonesian Forum for the Environment, or WALHI, to Voice of Indonesia.
Yes, there is possibility. I don't know for sure whether this is there yet, but I think there is technology. There is technology to convert, for example, like I said before, seawater to become a fresh raw water using desalination facility to take out the salt from the seawater so that people can use the fresh water for their daily lives.
Water is an essential natural source for life on Earth. Water source may be from groundwater, spring, lake, and seawater. Today, seawater can be water source for people. It is unsurprising because of modern technology, seawater can be consumed. The method is very simple, namely upside-down osmosis system. People at coastal areas get benefit the most from the finding of this technology. Nur Hidayati also explained how the technology is used.
It's quite easy, but convert the salt water. Yeah, for example, if some communities in small islands already doing it small scale, using the sun actually, where you put the seawater into a kind of glass tank, let it vaporize, and then when it's vaporized to be condensed, become the raw or fresh water. That's mainly the technology, the basic way of how this technology works. But of course, for making it as larger scale, it needs, like, for example, power generation, for example, for condensation of the vapor from the seawater unit.
Some remote villages in Indonesia have used this technology in a small scale. The declining spring and the rising seawater to the land are very detrimental to coastal community, not only on remote island, but also on Java Island, precisely in Lumajang, East Java. Listener, hopefully this technology may become an answer to handle water crisis in Indonesia by using the abundant seawater. Although, in fact, some regions are still difficult to apply this technology, aid from the central government is expected to apply this desalination technology in a bigger scale. Well, for listener, that ends today's miscellany on seawater desalination with upside-down osmosis system. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with Minuka in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to Sigit Wardana, who was the vocalist of Bass Jam Band. For a listener, let's listen to a song entitled Terlalu Indah Tuk Dilupakan, or in English means Too Beautiful to be Forgotten, which is taken from Biru Langit album. Enjoy the song.
Tersenyum manis padaku, indahnya tak mudah dilupakan, terasa menggetarkan hatiku. Tatapan mata yang begitu indah membuatku semakin tak kuasa untuk segera tahu namamu dan berkenalan denganmu. Aku belajar cinta kepadamu, meski baru ku mengenal dirimu begitu terlalu indah ku dilewatkan. Tatapan mata yang makin tak kuasa untuk segera tahu namamu dan berkenalan denganmu. Kau tersipu malu saat ku nyatakan ku cinta padamu, dan kau pun menatapku ragu. Aku telah jatuh cinta kepada
have just listened to a song from Sigit Wardana entitled Terlalu Indah Untuk Dilupakan, or in English means Too Beautiful to be Forgotten. Sigit Wardana's dream to have a solo album finally came true. Biru Langit album is his first solo album. In this album, Sigit Wardana sings hit songs entitled Setia or Loyal, a recycled song of the acoustic band. Sigit Wardana has many experiences in Indonesian music industry. In 1994 until 2005, Sigit joined in Bass Jam. In 2006, Sigit formed a band named Nufa, which in 2007 released an album. Late 2009, Sigit made his dream come true by releasing a solo album. Listener, let's listen to a song entitled Terjebak Cintamu or Trapped in Your Love by Sigit Wardana.
Terbersit dalam benakku, tinggalkanmu. Tapi ku tak pernah bisa hapus bayangan dirimu. Tapi ku tak pernah mampu singkirkanmu. Di saat ku terlelap, ku sadari. Apakah aku terjebak cintamu? Apakah aku terlanjur terbuai? Apakah aku telah ditakdirkan bersamamu?
Was a song entitled Terjebak Cintamu, sung by Sigit Wardana. Bass Jam image is stuck on Sigit Wardana. He recognizes that it is difficult to release the image because his name is skyrocketed through this band. Besides releasing bass jam image, Sigit also wants to release mellow image as a solo singer. According to Sigit, male singer is identical with mellow songs, but he is still in band concept, which is popular with beat songs. Well, listener, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs entitled Setia and Terlalu from Sigit Wardana. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening in. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Sahabatku, kau siksa hatiku ini. Terlalu sadisnya kau injak hina diriku. Kau hancurkan cintaku hanya untuk sahabatku. Kau hancurkan hidupku. Banyak kisah sakit di hati yang kulalui. Namun ini terlalu, sungguh terlalu, memang terlalu.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.